You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Bates Motel After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Bates Motel After Show.
Yo,
insane in the membrane.
What is that, Joe?
Terminal.
No, that was Welcome to the Bates Motel AfterBuzz After Show. That's Cypress Hill singing "Insane in the Membrane" for Zane. Insane in the Membrane.
Nice.
Wow. See what I did there?
Yep.
Wow. You like that, Nando?
I see what you did. It doesn't mean I like it. I see what you did there.
Welcome to the show. We're joined, as always,
that was
by
rough.
Everyone's here.
Yeah, and no love from Nando. He's like, I understand what you're doing, but yes. No.
He's busy with his
teabag. I'm busy nursing my throat still.
He's working his teabag.
Joining us, as always, is Dua Casey. How are you, Dua?
I'm good. How are you? Welcome, everybody.
I'm good. Joe Sanfilippo, how are you?
Nice to be here with you guys.
And Nando, how's your voice?
It's better.
Better?
For those of you who follow AfterBuzz yesterday on the shows we did for Following and
it sounds
Hannibal.
Less sexy.
It sounds less like
It sounds
less like Joan Rivers.
Less like Joan Rivers. More yesterday was a little bit of Joan Rivers.
He had a Joan Rivers, Turner. Kathleen Turner action going yesterday.
I was telling Roxy Stryer, who's another host on AfterBuzz, I was sounding a little bit like her, I thought.
Oh, so, now you're a little Roxy.
Roxy. That is a little Roxy. She has a really sultry voice.
Yes.
She does.
Yeah. At least as long as you don't go Katharine Hepburn, you'll be fine.
Oh, good, dude. What's your Katharine Hepburn impersonation, Jeff?
I don't have a Katharine Hepburn impersonation.
What's your Sean Connery?
He's an angry little man. I didn't do nothing to him.
You
stay on your side of the table.
That was good.
Very good.
Really don't encourage him. It was good, Joe. Anyway, welcome to Bates Motel After Show. We're here talking about Bates Motel. Believe it or not, 2 minutes in. We had a great episode, right? Right, Dua?
Really good.
Really good.
Pivotal.
Yeah.
I would say pivotal.
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 A game changer.
It is.
Maybe. I don't know.
It is.
A potential game changer. We're winding down all of a sudden. Like, we've only got a couple episodes left.
Yeah.
Three?
Yeah, it's only 10 episode season, right?
Yeah.
It's
don't
not
say
13.
That. It makes me sad.
Yeah, it's crazy. So we're in the home stretch. This is presumed innocent, as Norman was presumed innocent until proven guilty. We had a little more with Norman, which we'll get to. We had some Dylan Zane action. Saw Zane go rogue, as he often does. We saw the seemingly the end of Cody, which makes me very sad.
I'm sad. I really liked her.
Nando, you predicted that. I just want to say,
yeah.
Kudos.
Yeah.
But she didn't die.
I kind of made it sound like she would probably die, but she's gone either way. So.
Well, have you noticed that all these women in Norman's life have just leaving? Like all of them. Yeah. Bradley, like it's the only person.
Mrs. Watson.
The only person that's a constant is Norma.
Right.
And Emma.
Oh, that's right.
And Emma.
The heart of the show, as Nestor said.
Yes.
Well. Yes, Nestor. We call him Sheriff Romero around here.
Yeah. You know what?
He's Nestor to you now?
Last week, I spent an hour across the table from him. It was the best time of my life.
I just called him Ness.
Of your life? That was it?
Well.
Peaked out, huh?
I got to sit next to him.
Yeah.
So I was a big winner. His hand was on my knee the whole time.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Made me uncomfortable,
nice.
But it's true.
So let's get into this. So yeah, we see the conclusion of what happened with Norman being arrested. But before that, we see a little. I don't want to bury this interaction that happened in the office as Norma's getting settled in. She has an interaction with the council.
She's Norma deluded, or Norma looted, whatever you know.
That's a great term. I love that.
She's Norma looted.
Yep.
Into thinking that she got this council seat because she had a really, really great talk with the mayor.
Yeah.
And he was just blown away by the fact that she's an upright walker.
Yeah.
And she came into his office on both feet and
talked to the mayor.
And it's hilarious because again, it's Norma versus reality. Like she walks in, I talked to the mayor, and the look on the other councilman's face was hilarious. Like. Do you really think that? Like, are you for real?
You think it's that easy?
And I think that she knows deep down somewhere that it's not, that there are people pulling strings for her, but it even goes back, it harkens back to when she was getting all of her, like, her parking pass and everything, and the lady's like, let me show you the office. And she's like, I have an office? Like,
yeah.
She has no clue what no she's clue. Doing yeah. now. Like
what it means to have a seat on the council. She's yeah. like, it's like a weird thing that, like, I have a seat on the council.
Yep.
What does that mean? I don't know.
Yeah. But, like, but, meetings or yeah. something?
But,
I don't
Do let's point out that this town is grossly, disproportionately counseled, buildinged, and policed.
Sure.
Like, there is no way that the size of this town justifies the size of this police force.
Oh, you're saying there's no way the size of this town justifies the size of the government?
No way the size of this town justifies the size of that government
you
building.
You want smaller government? How right wing of you?
No, I'm saying that this is out of all proportion
right.
to the actual number of people that live there.
Like, I don't know how big the town is.
We've covered this. It's like there's like 30,000 people that live there. It's right. a small little town. Mm-hmm. There's no way that should have a city council that big, the that grandiose.
The people need to be governed. They need mm-hmm. to be. They need to be
very posh,
safe.
Poshly governed.
Okay,
ding, round one.
I don't know. I'm okay with the size of government in
White Pine Bay.
Yes.
What was the councilman's name?
Dude's name was. I don't know.
He was because District 4 or something, though.
Yeah, we'll just call him District 4.
Let's call him
yeah.
District 4. I think it was District 4. District 4.
I think that he's going to be problems. I'm just going to... He's definitely going to be problems.
I agree.
He's a snooper, and, you know, right off the bat, he just kind of wanted to interrogate Norma, which is funny that it was Romero that pulled her away.
He had no name.
Yeah, just yeah. Councilman, District 4.
Councilman, yeah. City Councilman.
Yeah.
So we'll see, District 4.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying we'll see more of him, you think?
Yeah. Well, she said that, but I agree.
I do, yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
We will. This is just the beginning, the tip of the iceberg. I think there'll be a lot of fun storylines.
Yeah, it was kind of a cool way to get into that, because we had Norma being introduced into her new world, and we know that that's not right. But instantly, she's pulled out of that by Sheriff Romero, mm-hmm. who has some bad news
yep.
about what's happened to Norman. And we see, you know, we see the fallout from what happened there. I mean, we talked about this off mic, but, you know, Sheriff Romero's he's softening a little bit, right?
He's quite a bit.
Yeah.
Quite a bit to both Norma and Norman.
I wrote in my notes that he almost seemed a little bit nurturing. Like, when he was at the door and he's like, Norma, I need to talk to you. You know,
yeah.
she started full on calling him Alex now, which shows uh-huh. a change and a shift in their relationship.
Yeah.
She even mentioned once, she's like, I do your laundry.
Yeah, and that part
that was a great line.
Yeah. That was a normal manipulation, though.
Yeah, it
that's
was.
Like you, that's like one of those you let her in your life a little bit. It's mm-hmm. like moment that Alex Romero thought, like, oh, it's just between me and Norma, where this is off, yep. you know, but when business is on, when he's in a sheriff role uh-huh. and he's trying to, you know, be a sheriff, and she's like, I do your laundry.
Don't patronize
like,
me. I do
yeah,
your laundry.
Like, don't, you know, like, this just shows you that if you let Norma in a little bit, she will use that to manipulate you.
Yes, but I don't think that she intentionally, when she went to go do his laundry, she wasn't like, I'm going to throw this back
no,
in his face
not.
One day.
No.
But it's such
it's
a
just,
mom thing.
Yep.
It's such a mom thing.
Yeah,
I deserve respect because
yeah.
I do the chores.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Don't you talk down to me.
Yes.
Don't you patronize
I'm
me.
I'm entitled to getting what I want right now
we
for
all
you
have,
because I do this for you.
We'll have those members in our family or mothers or whatever else that, you know, nothing's free. You know, so it's always like, if I'm going to pour this cup of coffee for you, I'm going to mention this cup of coffee 10 years from now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember that cup of coffee I poured?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's
I
one
do
of those
nice
most,
things.
Exactly.
And I think that it comes out when she feels backed into a corner, which is definitely what, you know, how she was feeling at that moment.
Right. So, yeah. She's definitely softened. She, you know, I feel like Sheriff Romero is definitely giving her the kid glove treatment as it pertains. I think he also understands the sensitivity of Norman, you know, her son Norman being accused of whatever he's accused of, which is killing someone. And they're just doing their due diligence. And I like the way that played out where, you know, he is presumed innocent, as the title of the episode says, until proven guilty. But
but Norma's not acting that way.
No.
She's not acting like he's presumed innocent.
Norma's very nervous.
This isn't her first rodeo, and she's letting her those colors show.
Yeah.
They're slipping out.
Yeah, she's very, very concerned about where is he? What's he going to do? What's he going to say? Like, don't say anything. And everybody's like, relax. It's no big deal. It's an accident. It's like, I don't know what happened.
And
so
it's
yeah.
ironic that in that, she, you know, she's slipping. And
yeah.
it wasn't until she got that crazy and that, you know, overbearing and protective. Can I just go back to the beginning of the episode for 1 minute?
Sure.
Where Norma is calling Norman on the phone and leaving a phone message. And I, in that moment, I remember that their last scene together was the scene in the car.
Yeah, this was picked right up. Yeah,
yeah, where he's like, I'm a, you know, I'm a man now. Just leave me alone. And like within an hour, somebody's dead.
Yeah. Poor Norma's like, I can't leave this kid alone.
That's just gonna make her more controlling. She's like, I let him run down the
road. That's a great point.
What was I thinking? Yeah. I let him go down the road and somebody died.
That's a great point.
So I mean,
okay, Norma. Norman, I guess you're a man now. Just come home when you can. What? Someone's dead.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no. I don't know. That is a great point. But do we think, I mean, so Norman, it's interesting seeing Norman, his reaction to this. I mean, he's really genuinely broken up with the fact that someone's dead, mm-hmm. like someone died here. And this is, it's real to see this, these both these sides of Norman, the Norman who's like genuinely upset that this happened. He's upset for concerned for Cody. He's concerned that someone's dead. He's concerned about the whole thing when we know that he's capable of being a stone cold killer. Mm-hmm. But to see the real Norman, you know, come out and sort of be really concerned about the fact that even when Sheriff Romero had that nice talk with him, mm-hmm. you know, sort of saying like, look, man, you know, I grew up with a guy. He's kind of a dick. Like, and she's like, but he didn't deserve to die. If I wasn't there, he would be still alive.
Yeah. And all of these things are, like, implicating him as well, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
it's not rape, but at the same time, Norman's also, his story was such BS. I mean, he was like, oh, I was just trying to protect Cody. And, I mean, you know, he agitated the situation being there.
Yeah.
But he admitted that.
Yeah.
He said, if I wasn't there, if I wasn't mad, she would still be alive.
He didn't say if I wasn't mad. He said if I wasn't there.
I think Norman's story was pretty close to being spot on, Flippo.
No, I think so. I think he was pretty honest. And he told Norma, I told him that I was yelling, and I told him that that's why we had the altercation is because I was there. And I mean, he was straight up.
Maybe I missed it. I didn't hear him admit to anything about having an argument with Cody beforehand.
He told Norma. That he had told Sheriff Romero already that he did that. And so it seems to me he was pretty upfront. I think that it's interesting to me how what kind of a blackout ninja it turns out he is. Like, like I don't know about you guys, but I've been in a couple of altercations.
Yeah.
No one's died. I'm a fairly large individual. Yeah. It's always every time Norman has something happen, he's straight to the jugular, and you know it's really staggering.
Well, it was a push. It wasn't as violent as a stabbing or yeah, a gunshot, but it was a push back. He got
that
pushed
has someone go down a flight of stairs and die.
Yeah.
Now I have a question. Do you guys think that it is how hard is it for Freddie Highmore playing Norman to really go back and think, okay, what do I remember? What don't I remember? Because he has to play those scenes as if he doesn't remember.
Well, they got to talk that out every
like,
shot.
Sure really, like, yeah. break that yeah. down of just, like, you can't react this way because you don't know that
happened.
Yeah,
here's what you know, here's what you don't know. That's the whole point beforehand, I bet.
They got to have, like, a whole timeline of, you know, his just blackouts somewhere.
Yeah, script supervisor has to be on point on this show. Can't drop the ball at all.
Yeah,
and continuity as well.
I think, again, Freddie Highmore has done a fantastic job of his performance in this, like, even just his anguish, you know, when I'm keep going back to this, his anguish in those scenes with Romero and his, like, just him trying to work this out in his own head as to what happened or what the implications are or what, if he could be, you know, if something could be happened to him. But before that, you know, we have this in the introduction of Deputy, what's her name?
Lynn.
Deputy Lynn.
Oh, that
very
bitch.
Patty Lynn.
Yeah.
Yeah. That she kind of came out of nowhere, that Patty Lynn.
She did.
Well, yeah.
And I was asking after Deputy Shelby died, I was wondering, I was like, who's in that spot? Like, where is Romero? Right hand man. Well, I like the fact that they cast a woman, but she's
over eager.
Yeah, and it seems like Sheriff Romero is really kind of like, you know, do what you want to do, make your phone calls, but this is my, like, I run this, I'm fine. Like, calm down.
She's like, I got my theories. Want to hear?
Yeah.
Like, no.
It's like she's an annoying puppy that's nipping at the heels.
It's okay. Okay, Nancy Drew, I get it. Right? Yeah.
But you know, it ended up working out because she got some.
She has, which I have a question about that later.
Me too.
Me too.
Because, yeah.
It's so funny because it's like anything else. Like we are okay with the idea of lawlessness as long as we agree that we like the guy who's in charge of the lawlessness. Like we all like Sheriff Romero. And so
it's Nestor. Come on.
You know, we love him. Nestor. He's great. So lawlessness is okay as long as he's in charge.
Right.
So, you know, but that's kind of our deal apparently on this show is that when somebody comes in actually wants to follow the rules, we're like, BS, get out.
Yeah, what's she doing here? Following rules and following up on
what do you think you are?
That's not how it happens in this town, though.
Yeah, police procedure. Go sit down.
That's not how things get done here.
Calling and phone calls.
Well, we had that, that thing with her when she was sort of, you know, she doing the mugshots and getting the DNA.
Why did they do that?
Why do they do what?
Why did they do the mugshot? When Romero was talking to Norma and she's like, can I be in the room? He's a minor. And Romero specifically said he's not arrested. We're just asking him questions. If he wasn't arrested, why were they taking mugshots of him? And why were they taking samples
of him? Well, Lynn was by herself.
They weren't mugshots.
They weren't mugshots, I think. I think that they were...
He wasn't holding a prisoner number. He wasn't He wasn't holding a booking number.
Point, they weren't mugshots.
But they were pictures.
I think it's all evidence. I think it's like certainly seeing like the evidence of the struggle.
Here's what's on his face. Here's what's on his clothes.
Here's the markings.
See the DNA.
DNA.
But you can't get DNA from a minor without consent from the mother. Which she probably would have never given. Isn't that true?
I think that's true.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And so
maybe not in Oregon.
And I mean, maybe the lawyer friend is going to tell that to Norma after the whole look.
That's a really good point. Can you Schwab a minor up?
I don't think that sounds gross when you said that.
I have a possible theory on that anyway, but question.
We can do theories.
You want to do theories?
After Buzz theories.
I just feel she was just, this goes with a prediction really, but I'll say it, but I just really think that Lynn may have other interests. Working for one of the families.
Good point.
And possibly because Norma's up as councilman, any dirt that they can, that she could have on Norma would be helpful. So here's a perfect opportunity to get as much information on Norman as you can. Rush it up to the lab, bring something back, report it to your other superior.
Well, let's hope that superior
is a really good point.
But let's just hope that other superior isn't Nick. Because it's Nick Ford. Because Nick Ford would be very, very upset to know, that Norman had something to do with the death of his daughter, especially when he saw him at the cemetery over there.
Well, let me toss this out. I think Nick Ford, so far, is the adult in the room. I mean, Zane's cowboying it up.
And Zane in the membrane.
And
he's not calculated enough for the Morgan family.
Say it, Jeff.
In Zane in the brain.
Thank you.
So... I think Nick Ford is the adult in the room. He's doing business. So I mean, for him, if she's gonna be working for anybody, I'd prefer it to be Nick Ford than Zane's people who are clearly
But Norman
Nick just helped her out though. So maybe is Nick
Jody. I would assume it's Dylan's boss or Zane's boss. Jody, was it Jody Morgan? Is that the name?
I can't imagine Jody's got that tight a handle on things. If she's still letting Zane drive the bus, apparently over the cliff. Run down the mountain.
She's letting Zane drive the bus.
But it's all politics, too, and I'm sure it's got to be somebody who wants to have something on Norma.
She could just be a super, super diligent,
I'm going to be a lieutenant very soon cop.
She didn't have to be on the take.
I think that's over.
There's something about her introduction into the storyline so quickly that makes me feel like she has another use other than just being a deputy. So I think that she's some sort of mole. It's a good call.
Yeah.
Well, because she was definitely antagonistic to Norman. And I know that Romero is now, more sympathetic because he knows them a little bit better. But she seemed like she had a vendetta against him.
Or, who she could be in cahoots with? The councilman who we don't know the name for.
She's cahooting, you think?
Huh.
She might be in... Well, not cahoots. I'm working underneath, but still, possibly reporting to him.
And then, so if she's in cahoots with him, there might be a caper.
There might be a caper.
Cahoots and capers.
Well, I like your theory, Nando, because that just blew this thing wide open.
All right. We'll see. I like that. Yeah. Theories.
Even the way she said at the very end, it matched. Like, she knew something was up.
Yeah. But now, I have a question. What was it that matched?
The semen that was inside Blair Watson.
But was it the semen or was it the blood that was on his shirt?
No, it was the swab. It was a swab in his mouth.
No, it was the DNA. The DNA swab that she did on him matched the DNA from the semen sample.
Right.
Okay, so it wasn't the blood sample to blood sample.
No.
Are we certain about that?
She said semen sample. So
yeah, she said semen sample is a DNA match.
I don't remember the scene where she took a semen sample, but it...
No.
You're looking forward to DVD extras.
Interesting. So... Does that mean that he had sex with her?
Yeah. Are you watching?
Yes. Are you watching the same show we're watching?
Do you know how this works?
I feel like there's some fundamental knowledge missing from you that we can't help you with.
When a man and a woman fall in love.
Were you absent that day in the fifth grade where they took the girls to one room and the boys to another and everybody came back and went, ew?
We do not know that she could have had sex with somebody before or after, you know what I'm saying?
We knew that there was semen. We knew that there were
two semen samples in her, right?
Right.
Correct.
And one of them we ID'd and one of them we didn't.
Correct.
Right.
And the one that they ID'd, he's dead, right? That's the dude that they chased down in his house, right?
Yes.
And he jumped out the window and the whole nine, right?
Yeah. Two semen, no boat.
Yeah. So.
Oh.
That's for Dua. I'm trying to explain this to Dua.
I think it's going to get very confusing. I can't help but feel the way you're doing it. It's just going
to
make it worse.
Anyone listening for the last 10 seconds.
Okay, so.
I'm with a bunch of boys.
Well, apparently we have to educate you because you have some confusion.
Yeah.
Right.
It's still not clear that he had sex with her.
Like, how else would the semen get inside her?
But it wasn't, but he could have just killed her.
But no, his semen was inside
her. How do you kill
her?
Someone with semen?
But, and we still don't know.
I have a question for you.
We still don't know that he killed her, yes.
How does semen get there? How does that happen?
Look.
You we're not talking. And by the way, we're not talking about. We're not talking about sailors.
No, I'm
not. In the Navy.
How might that happen to a Casey?
Okay, so
I'm still trying to imagine how it's going to kill somebody.
We were just found out this past episode that his DNA matched that semen.
Yes.
We just found this out.
That's the whole point.
So before, we didn't even know.
Well, that's right.
She could have had a gangbang before she even saw Norman that night.
She went straight from no knowledge to like PhD and how this works.
To porn star.
To gangbangs. How does this work? Birds and a beast?
Are you singing karaoke with this guy?
That's an inside. No, it's tonight.
I'm gonna make Nando lose his voice again.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Let's cut back to when Norman was in her house and she was showing off her lingerie behind that door. I mean, it's implicated that he was at least aroused.
Correct.
Next thing you know, we see him running away and she's dead.
Yes, but we never know that he had sex with her.
Exactly.
We don't even know that he even killed her.
So now, based on this evidence, we do.
Well, all we know is that it matches. That's all we know.
It could also be a plant.
How might that happen?
And this is, you never want to leave anything out for, you know, you always want to leave the door open. It's Norman. I can't believe that he would have sex with a corpse.
What are you talking about? No. Not after.
Norman's had sex with three people in this show already.
Norman is so laid. Norman's had sex with all the hottest girls.
Norman's had sex with three people so far in this thing.
Every hot girl that shows up, Norman's having sex.
Can we please have somebody?
And he's just creepy with his mom. And he's totally creepy with his mom. So come on.
There is no one that can write in and defend you because what you're saying makes no sense. Here's what I'm saying to you. His semen was found inside her body.
Yes.
So either he dropped it on the floor, she picked it up and put it in, the two of them had sex.
Sure. The first person that had a semen in her was trying to frame him.
And picked it up and put it in.
I don't know. This is my point.
How did that first person extract the semen from Norman?
If there are any little kids listening to this podcast, I'd want you to know not to learn anything from the last 10 minutes.
I'm trying
of the
to follow
show.
You down this rabbit hole, Dua. I want to be on your side.
I'm not saying that you guys are
wrong. I'm trying to get where you are.
I'm just saying we found this out at the last 60 seconds of the last episode, and all of a sudden you guys are like, "Yeah, you didn't know that? Like, cut me some slack."
There's biology. If a house is on fire, we can agree that it's burning.
Romero, she came in, she goes, guess what? DNA match. The second semen sample matches Norman. Romero was like, damn, how'd that happen? And Dua's like, wait, I don't get it.
Just to be clear, I have to look on the chat room because I just figured this has deteriorated so much. So I just want to be clear. I mean, Joseph Bosa's saying Dua's right. Blair could have had sex beforehand. I don't know exactly what that means.
She could have had sex. All there was there semen inside of her.
Yeah. And one of them matches Norman.
Two different samples.
Two different samples.
There were two different DNA samples. So two different
guys. One matches dude out the window.
Maybe he was just,
the other matches Norman.
Maybe he was just so aroused on the couch. That
it jumped out of his body across the room, crawled up her leg, and jumped in.
But
I don't understand.
You know physiologically how sex works, right?
Here's the point. Well, we're harping on this a little bit too long. Here's the point. The point is, according to the evidence, whether it was legit or it could even have been planted by Deputy Lynn, according to the evidence, Norman had sex with Mrs. Watson before she died. It doesn't mean Norman killed her. It just means that he had sex with her.
Fair enough.
Okay?
Thank you. Moving on.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
We will teach you the ins and outs later.
I didn't mean it like that. We're friends, Dua. Mando.
We will give you a carefully worded book.
Yes, Mando can teach you.
In fact, there's a sex slave book that Joe Braswell has.
What?
What? Oh, from season
from
one.
From season one.
Thank you.
That's right. The sex label.
That was from the
notebook. That was genuine
notebook.
Fear in your eyes.
Yes. I'm all like,
I do not. I do not.
Sex
you can't prove anything.
All right. Moving along.
So now that that's cleared
up. That must have been very confusing last season for you.
Now that we know how people do it, let's move on.
Now that's cleared up. So we do this moment where Norman, with George, George shows up, you know, and he's very much...
I'm just glad Nestor wasn't here this week.
Oh, no doubt.
Nestor would have been on my side.
Anyway,
go ahead.
George shows up, and he's conveniently, and you know, I don't...
That's too convenient. I heard from a friend called. Who is this friend? Everybody knows everything.
Yeah. It's a small town.
Even Norma says it. She's like, why are you so nice? I'm like, yeah, George, why are you so nice?
I trusted George last episode. I bought him. This episode is too much. It's a bridge too far.
Yeah. Why are you so nice?
I'm not digging on George right now. There's something about him.
It seems like he's into Norma, but I don't know.
I don't know either. Something's rotten about George.
Yeah. Apparently, I've lost all my credibility and my opinions.
Sex.
Well, when George and Norma hug for a really long time.
You are no Dr. Ruth. That's all I was saying.
Dr. Ruth.
Nice current reference.
This isn't Love Line. You are not Dr. Drew. How about that?
What if that meant to 2014 with Dr. Ruth? Jesus.
Somebody who's aged himself.
All right, let's get back control of this
show. Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
George shows up and offering legal advice, but is not a criminal attorney. And I don't know. Do we not trust? What do you think of George? Do you not trust George?
It's too soon to call, but I just think he's just way too innocent. He's acting way too innocent that it's just setting off all my, you know, radar.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he's there to just get information. Like he's just there to see what's going on and report back to somebody. It's weird. Like why is he here? She just got a councilman seat. Now he's got, you know, maybe he needs to go tell Nick Ford. Like he's like, hey, go down there, see what's going on. And he seems like he's going as a friend, but he's really just wanting to get the information.
Right.
Or maybe he's just a vanilla guy that has a crush on Norma. Who knows?
I don't know. I don't think this show has much room for vanilla guys with crushes.
No one's really vanilla on this show.
I don't know, man. At least they're
very square.
And it seemed
like
to me
Norman
the advice the advice he was giving was like, everything's cool. But if you were a decent lawyer and we have questions about swabbing minors, I think, you know, there would have been, if you're a good lawyer, you're gonna bust it into that thing. Hey,
he made it clear that he was not a criminal lawyer.
Okay, so then what are you doing there? You're just there for the free hugs. You're just there to kind of hang out
to console Norma and probably report back to Nick.
Yeah,
we think Nick.
What's going on? Yeah, we think he's working with Nick or because, at least to his sister Christine.
Because remember, Christine's husband and Nick are at loggerheads over that bypass. Because Nick's husband. I'm sorry, Christine's husband.
Because Nick doesn't have a husband.
That's a fair point.
We have to have a conversation with you about that.
Oh, this is going to take a long time. We have to explain this to Dua. So Nick's husband, I'm sorry, Christine's husband is not about the bypass. He's about the bypass, not getting rid of it.
Okay.
So
I don't know that that means anything.
That's the crux of the whole deal. There's millions of dollars on the line.
What I'm saying is I don't know that the fact that Christine's husband is against the bypass doesn't mean that Christine is not in league with Nick. Maybe Christine's having an affair with Nick. We don't know. Maybe Christine is Nick's brother or sister. I mean, you know, Christine is Nick's sister. We don't know the relationship. Maybe the husband doesn't know, you know, the interest.
Got
it. It doesn't necessarily mean that just because the husband's opposed to the bypass, automatically Christine is off the hook.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
All right.
You know.
I follow you.
Follow me.
So when a man loves a woman, very, very much.
When a man tases a woman, is that what you said?
No, pays the woman. Pays the woman, and they go to a hotel.
So Norman, after all that, we have the Norman's cleared. He is able to come out, and we had that very, very cool moment where Norman is in the kitchen and cooking the eggs, and he's in the apron. He looks very much like Norma.
You know, and I don't know if they puffed his shirt up intentionally, because it looked, when it was panning up, it looked like he had bosoms for a hot minute.
Yeah, it was very, very psycho slash, you know, very precursor to Norman Bates, you know, becoming Norma. He was very, very comfortable, you know, making the eggs in the kitchen in that apron. I thought that was a cool little.
And he tossed it when he got mad at Norma. I have a memory, and I'm not 100% sure what episode it happened in, but tossing the eggs on the table in the pan, I remember Norma doing something just like that.
Well, tossing in the sink, she did. Yeah,
just I'm done. I'm not eating. I'm out. Same exact maneuver.
Interesting.
It's a lot of subtleties. You see Norma, like Norman, really sort of you know, morphing into Norma. And there's also like this weird, there's this weird moment too, like when they were coming down the stairs, they did this move where they were arm in arm
and holding hands in the middle.
Holding hands in the middle, and it looked like Siamese twins. Yep. It was very much like a prom picture, but the way they did it was very much a mirror image of each other. It was like really creepy. It creeped me out.
That's a really astute observation. That so, scene actually in the kitchen.
Show.
Yeah, I was actually listening to it. And yeah. I wasn't watching it. And it's so funny how if you don't really pay attention to the show, there's so many
miss little nuances.
Oh yeah, a ton of them.
Absolutely. I think it's great that they're taking moving pictures now and putting them in the magic tube box.
We got it. So then we see he has that conversation. He goes out and he also has a conversation with Emma outside. And I was really expecting him to flip out on Emma, but he did not. He sort of came to his senses and was really like...
I want to ask you about that scene. That scene seemed very strange to me.
In what way?
Well, because what he said was, at the end, he said, I want to thank you. I want to thank you. And she goes, okay. And I want to thank you for what? And I want to thank you for believing in me. And I was like, I don't understand. And, I mean, like, what does he mean by that? And she kind of looked at him for a second, and then she kind of took it as a whatever... And like, okay, I get it. I'm not going to take it seriously. It's funny, and I love you, and that's cool. But I didn't get why what he meant by
because she never thought he was guilty.
Exactly.
Like he might have murdered someone, and Emma not for one second was like, whatever. What really happened in the house, Norma? He was always like,
I mean, that's the scene before in the kitchen. He's like, why? You know, why? What's going on? Like, because he notices that Norma is like almost disconnecting and like is looking at him like he's guilty, not for this, but for the fact that she knows that he's killed people and he doesn't know that.
Well, he said it. He said it to her. He's like, "You don't even believe me.
You don't believe me.
Everyone seems to believe me, but you know, like even." Go ahead.
No, that's fine. Emma was trying to get Dylan back on board with like, hey, you know, your family is in trouble. Can you come help them? Your family is in trouble. And she's the one that really was on his side the whole time. I'm shocked that it didn't seem like he actually was there for any of that, though. So I understand your confusion in wondering when he's like,
That's what I didn't get, because he didn't witness any of that. Like, he didn't know that. All he knew was that conversation with her right then. And he was telling her how mad he was. Like, the reason he was mad was because of what she told Norma, and that's why I didn't follow it. I didn't add up.
There might have been a scene cut there, because that would confuse me as well. If you're like, well, I didn't see any of these interactions. Like, if Norman doesn't know that Cody went to go get Dylan, if Norman doesn't know that she's been on his side the whole time, then why is he thanking her?
Hmm.
You know.
Yeah, maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe it seemed like it happened. Even it seemed like it was just sort of in that moment at the cart. Like, she was very much, you know, and Emma was like, well, what happened? And it's none of my business. But, you know, it seems like you're fine now, right? Like, everything's cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it just goes, I mean, you saw it last week. It's just that Emma can do no wrong. He went straight to blame Cody last week. Straight to Cody. Emma can do no wrong. Yeah. He wants to protect. There's a lot of protection in this. Like a warped sense of reality, you know, for what they define as protection. But I think Norman is at a point right now where he protects Emma, and Emma could do no wrong. He said, "I just can't trust you anymore," and then he smiled
immediately. She's broken down.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, because the first time I watched that scene with the music underneath it in the flow of the show, it made total sense, and I accepted it. And then when I went back and watched it again, if you kind of pulled the music out of it, the scene was actually kind of jarring, and it was a little bizarre, because he says straight up, "I can't trust you anymore," and she takes it as a joke.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he intended it as a joke.
His smile is
pretty ambiguous, I thought.
Well, I don't know. I took it as a joke, but I didn't see it twice like you did, so maybe you noticed something else there. But I didn't take it as a joke, because I really think that, I mean, you saw him lose it with Cody. He didn't lose it with Emma at all.
Mm-mm.
He never did. And this isn't the I'm still feeling guilty because of what happened with Cody's dad. This is just, you know, them having a one-on-one.
Well,
He didn't shut down or anything. He didn't lash out or shut down. He had a very normal conversation with her, and it's kind of like, no skin off my back anymore.
Well, I kind of think there's always that, there's always the friends are in certain categories in your head. And I think with Emma, she's always going to be in, she's the friend that does the right stuff. And she's the friend that needs to be protected and the friend that needs to be taken care of.
Yeah.
And Cody was not that. Cody was not going to do the right stuff. Cody was the bad chick. who was tough and didn't need any help and was going to get people in trouble. Well, so and you know, push the envelope a little bit. So I think that his accepting of Emma telling Norma, because that's kind of her, I think he accepts her as that character. Like, yeah, this is who you are in my life. Of right. course you would tell her.
But it's so sad because Cody and Emma really have the same, more or less the same feelings for Norman. I mean, Cody does like Norman, I felt, mm-hmm. from that whole thing. I mean, she has a different way of showing it. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, she kind of put Emma in danger, but it was really Emma who was the one that said last week, I'm going to jump on this, I'm going to do the rope swing. You know, Cody wanted to warn Norma, but knew she wasn't supposed to. So she did the next best thing. She told someone that was very, you know, had the same feelings for Norman that she did, to want to protect him. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, but obviously Norman feels very differently. I don't know if it was because he had sex with Cody, Dua.
Did he have sex with Cody?
Or not. But for some reason.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. They had sex?
Yeah, they had sex.
You watched
See,
the
when
too.
A man and a woman love each other.
Yes, they go up to a treehouse and yes. they have sex.
Yep.
Yes. So, yeah, I don't get it. But I really felt bad for Cody last week, and it's just, it's a little sad, you know. And, of course, Emma seems like she can do no wrong at this point. Yeah.
And Emma did have a conversation with Dylan as well.
Yeah.
She tried, you know, trying to get this up. But I want to go back and just, you know, be clear that we have this interesting parallel. We have four characters who all really think, so they have this thing to happen where, you know, Cody's dad is dead. Cody seems to believe, knows was there and knows what happened, but seems to forgive and think Norman's innocent. Norman has no idea. Norman seems to think that he's innocent, but but is very, feels a lot of remorse. Sheriff Romero wants to believe that Norma's innocent. Norman is innocent and is really sort of wanting to prove that. Norma is the only one here who thinks that, is terrified because she thinks someone's dead and Norma's guilty. It's a really interesting juxtaposition between these four individuals, mm-hmm. and Norma from the get-go has just been like, oh my God, he killed someone. Lord knows what happened. I've got to protect him. So from the second she found out, she's going in full-blown mother hen protective mode and really just circling the wagons and getting everything in. She's in Romero's face. She's, you know,
scrambling.
You
to
saw
talk
how
to
dramatic.
Talk to Cody, yeah. Like, in the, like, don't say this about the thing.
Yeah.
When she did the with George, when she did the retelling
she's
of what
so
happened.
So dramatic.
That her story is like, well, here's what happened.
Yep.
He was poor, innocent. Right. That woman's so small.
And Cody's, she's like a
she's
bird.
She's like a bird.
Bird. You know, it was so dramatic. So she's got this whole thing, and I thought this is really interesting to see to what great lengths Norma is going to protect her son. And again, like Nestor was saying here last week, like that's the heart of the show. I mean, this is what ultimately will be Norman's undoing, is Norma's overbearing, you know, ability. Yeah. It's a weird sort of sad irony that in her ability to just wanting to protect her son, she's crushing him and then mm-hmm. pushing him over the edge.
Yep.
It's just a really crazy thing to watch them both play it like that, because we know Norma's crazy to a certain degree, but we also empathize with her just wanting to protect her son. And then we have to watch poor Norman just trying to figure this whole thing out. Like, I black out. Do I mm-hmm. kill people? Am I good? Am I bad? What's my mother hiding from me? Mm. So, I don't know. I think this episode is really about, you know.
Norma, I feel like this, I'm sorry to cut you off. I feel like this episode was about Norma trying to protect and hide her secret.
Yeah.
And her secret being Norman's kills people when he blacks out.
Yeah.
You know what I thought was a really interesting little nuance that I don't want to lose out on? When Norman found out about the blackouts from Emma, and then Norma found out that Norman was presumed innocent,
mm-hmm.
and it was officially ruled an accident. She went running up to Norman. Norman's at the top of the stairs looking down upon her, really, and just staring at her. And I just thought it was a really interesting place for him to find out that it was officially ruled an accident, and he's innocent. He's in the exact same spot that he was at the end of last episode when he knocked Cody's dad down. And he has this really stern look on his face. Huh. Like, obviously, he's upset about his mom, about the whole, you know, what's she hiding from me type of thing. But I thought it was a really, really interesting choice on the putting him there.
On shots, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I like that. I like that you noticed that. And last week, Sanfilippo, you mentioned the whole thing about the cowering and the way that they were, the shot placement.
Yeah.
And how
and
a lot of
that's very
them,
similar.
Yeah. It's like, how can we convey what we want to say with just the shot placement? Like, mm-hmm. could you kind of get the feel of what the scene is without listening to anything, maybe just having the sound turned off, and just the way they're shooting it? Like, it's all very calculated and very meticulous, and I love that.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, really very interesting. So I want to get to the biggest moment of the show for me. I mean, the revelation about the DNA sample at the end was a revelation. Mm-hmm. We've already covered that.
Yes, we covered that in detail. With extras.
I do want to point out, we have a little tweet here from Wilma Jazz. She said the education system in America is sadly lacking.
Dua, you're being held back.
But I do. Go ahead.
It's all one big misunderstanding.
Okay, great. But I do want to get to the big revelation in the biggest moment for me, outside of the Zane situation, which we'll cover, but it's the stairwell, the Norma confrontation in the stairwell when Sheriff Romero comes and says, you know what? Norman's clear of all charges. He's fine. And Norma goes running up the stairs to tell Norman. And they give each other that hug and they walk down the stairs in that little embrace. But Norman confronts her and says, Cody says, I want to get to Cody's goodbye too. But, you know, Cody says that you've been lying to me and what's going on. And he completely confronts her and was very sort of manly and stands up to her about it. And she does this the best Norma thing in the world, which she starts is very, endearing and very sweet and like, yes, that happened. And yes, that did. I did say those things. But we'll never talk about it again. Yeah. So shut up. Yeah. That was awesome.
It was so great. It started with the fact that she was, obviously ecstatic that Cody was gone. And Norman was like, Cody is gone. And she's like, oh, for your sake, I'm sorry. I know that you really liked him. Yeah. And then all of a sudden she's like, well, she said this about you. I told you never trust her. Like,
that was awesome.
180 in like a heartbeat.
Yeah,
like,
I told you it was horrible for you.
You know, yes, I did say those things. We're never talking
about
that.
She almost ruined your life. Yeah.
That's what a weird way to just shut it down. Like she's still wanting to protect Norman.
It's Norma versus reality on the macro level.
Right.
This is her whole thing. The whole premise of the show is that Norma will push as hard as she can to make reality what she wants it to be.
And she has her own rules, her own world.
And she doesn't trust the police. She doesn't trust the idea of putting her son in a psychiatric institution. She doesn't want to let anybody else in. It is her belief that she will be able to protect and fix him and protect him from himself. So again, the whole show is Norma versus reality. And that's it on the smallest and the largest level, it's with Norman. I will absolutely not give in to reality here. I'm going to make this thing work.
Yeah, on one hand, I'm going to tell you, you're right. I didn't lie to you. I mean, I did, you know, that's the truth. I'm telling you the truth here. But we're never going to talk about it again.
That's it.
And also, there's this whole notion, like you said, Joe, with Norma versus reality, this whole notion that she's going to go charging forward in life and then figure out the rest later. Like, she has no idea. Like, I'm going to go down there and stop the bypass. She gets to the council meeting. It's like, what am I doing here? I don't know how to do this. Or like, I'm going to go and get in the council seat. Like, where? I have an office? What's the seat?
Yeah.
You know? Like, I'm going to go. Like, it's the same thing over and over again. She'll just charge first. And then when she gets there, she's like, wait, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And then she'll be like, well, I'm here anyway. And that's the normal way. And in that moment in the stairwell, that's what that was. Norman was in her face. And she's like, okay, well, yeah, you're right. But that's it. We're not talking about it. I'm the mom. Dictator. It's game over. That's how she deals.
Well, now she's getting a little bit of pushback from him because he's at that age where he doesn't want to be treated like a kid anymore. Hey, what if I told you, Sanfilippo, that I know something about you, but we are never to discuss it?
No,
and you will never.
Doesn't
that drive a person crazy?
Yeah.
What is it?
I know exactly what's wrong with you. I know exactly what happens when you black out, but guess what? You'll never know because I'll never tell you.
Yeah, I mean, how number one childish is that to say that? And number two, he's going to lose trust in her.
He's going to lose a lot more than trust. He's going to lose his mind and start killing people in showers. We know how this thing ends.
Can I bring up one thing really quickly?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did it surprise anybody else that Cody didn't really seem that fazed or upset that her dad was dead?
Well, I think that scene played well to me. I don't know. It played well when she went outside and she had the moment of acceptance. I think that we saw during after Norma confronted her in the thing about Norman in the bathroom, we saw her give that glaring look to Norma on the way out. Mm-hmm. I get the sense that she had some time to sort of think this thing through and really come to some sort of acceptance about it. So when she had that conversation with Norman at the end, you know, at the car, she laid it out. Says, look, he's dead because of him. You know, she's like, this thing happened. It's not your fault. I forgive you. I'm leaving. I bought that. And I bought the whole, like, I'm not a texting calling type. And there's one last kiss. And, oh, by the way, your mother gets to tell you something. And she's out off to wherever she's Cleveland.
Indiana.
Indiana.
Yeah.
I thought that was beautiful.
No. I think you know, sometimes on a show like this, it's so rare with this show, but I agree with you, it was a little jarring. I think that for this, there's sometimes when we have to let one go. I think that one we have to let go, because the reality is,
if she turned 18, she would have been out of there anyway, because apparently she didn't like him.
Well, she was going to bone out one way or the other.
Yeah,
But if you're only
dead now,
your
that's
only
amazing sim-
yeah, if your only parent is dead and your only connection to a town is dead right in front of you, I think there has to be a larger reaction than what we got, and I think that a larger reaction would have slowed down the pace of the show dramatically.
And, well, look, ultimately she's a tough girl. She doesn't show much emotion. We got to see a little bit of it, you know, when she was hiding in the closet with Norman, when she was like trying to stop him going in there. But she ultimately puts on a stern face. She's the tough bra. She's the tough girl driving the car, blasting the music, mm-hmm. not listening to authority. So I think we just have to assume she's just facing up. But I do think that when she said, no, whatever it is that happens when you black out, it scares the hell out of Norma. I really felt like she was even saying, it scares the hell out of me too. So right. I think that was just her putting up a face to Norman and saying, I'm having one last conversation. I'm saying goodbye because I do care, but I'm kind of happy I'm kind of getting out of here right now. This is a good opportunity. Yeah, she'll probably grieve when she gets to Indiana. That's what I like to think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
Last but not least, let's talk about Zane. Zane's crazy. See you next week. That's it. The end.
Zane is not doing anybody any favors.
Zane's crazy, but Zane knows Dylan's plan or knows his sister's plan.
I mean, does Dylan. He? I mean, I really. This is the question I have. I mean, we'll just quickly do this, but like, so we see throughout the episode, throughout the episode, Zane's planning something. He's got a bunch of pipe hitting dudes, giant guys, and they're like scheming in the back, and they're going to do something. We find out obviously at the end that he's going to go raid Nick Ford's spot, which is a bad idea.
And plus, it's pretty obvious the whole time that's what he's going to probably do. Something to mess with Nick Ford.
But it was that. We didn't know it would be like a guns blazing shoot people thing.
Also to mess with Dylan, because, I mean, he's like, just to let you know, I know. And by the way, you know, don't think that you're special for sleeping with my sister, pretty much. And my sister's a slut, pretty much, is what he said. So I think that this was also to kind of kick Dylan in the nuts of like, hey, I know that you're supposed to be watching over me. Watch this.
Yeah.
I don't care.
This is the question I had. When he said, I know you're supposed to be watching me, there's a difference between what she said to Dylan, which is basically like, you're basically in charge, but make him think he is. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a message that Zane got. Zane felt like, oh, you're supposed to be watching me, you know, but
well, let me ask you a question.
Dylan's in charge.
Well, how do you do that? As a boss, that's a ridiculous thing to tell somebody.
Yes.
Like, you're in charge, but you can't be in charge. He's a violent, crazed lunatic who just got out of prison, has already whacked four people, and is going to really start a war. But you're in charge. Go.
And he tried.
Oh, by the way, did you enjoy the Poonanny? Hope you had fun. Get out and manage this.
You might want to explain to do it with
Poonanny.
See,
when you have the Poonanny. But it just didn't make any sense to me. Like, that is an impossible task he was given, a Sisyphean task.
Yeah.
Sure. A who?
Sisyphean.
There it is.
Yeah.
And if you do...
From Poonanny to Sisyphus.
You went from kindergarten to, like, PhD words. It's amazing.
You're beautiful. Yes. I hope they're not using Poonanny in kindergarten. I know what kindergarten you went to, Nando.
Like schoolyard stuff. No, I meant like schoolyard, immature schoolyard stuff, too.
Nando went to hardcore kindergarten.
Nando went like in New York.
You better put them blocks down.
All right.
Bring it in, boys. I got a question.
But when he does try to do that, he gets a gun butt to the face. When he does try to lead from the sidelines,
right.
It does. It's not very effective.
A He's gun like, butt? Hey. A pistol whip?
Well, he got a plaque.
Yeah.
Smack.
Yeah.
Poonanny.
The butt of a gun into his face.
So how does Zane know this? Because obviously Jody didn't tell Zane because she doesn't want Zane to know.
Right.
And he's like, hey, guess what? I know.
I think this is my point. I don't think he knows that she's like, you're the boss. I think he's making the assumptions like, oh, you're with my sister. Okay, she probably did the bit where you're supposed to watch me and you had sex with her.
The same way that Remo
blah, blah,
knew.
Blah, blah. Yeah,
I've been in this family long enough to know.
I know how this thing works. And I know. But really, it's more than that. I think what she's saying is you're in charge. And I think that's what Zane doesn't know. And I think that we'll find out how that reconciles itself at the end of this.
I think Zane ultimately saved Dylan's life by doing that.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Remo's gonzo, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Remo's gone, and Zane's gone too. See ya.
Yeah.
This is Nick Ford.
This will put.
They are playing with the grown-ups right now. You're right.
Yeah.
This will put Dylan. I think we talked about this last week, but this will put Dylan in a position to sort of be the head of the family that's opposite of his mother and Nick Ford, which is crazy. Yep. You know, the issue's about to hit the fan here because, like I said, when Nick Ford gets a load of the fact that Norman's semen sample is in his dead daughter, that is not going to go over well.
That is a fairly good point.
And so, and then when Nick gets a load of the fact that the other Bates boy is, you know, part of a raid that raided his spot, that's not going to go over well.
Yeah.
And the fact that he is in bed with Norma, you know, and controlling in whatever manipulation is happening there, that's not going to go over well. So we're going to see exactly where Sheriff Romero's loyalties lie in all of this, because he's smack dab in the middle of this. He has an affinity towards Norma and Norman. And I don't know. The shit's about to hit the fan.
It really is. And we talked about it. I mean, we talked about it last week. His role always seems to be to keep the proverbial shit in the horse. But it is about to explode. Yeah. Yes.
I do agree with that. I keep thinking about what you said, Nando, and I think that, Deputy Lynn is probably connected to Nick Ford, because Nick Ford was not satisfied with the finder of the whoever killed his daughter. Yeah. He wasn't satisfied with it, so he's probably still
doing his own investigation.
Yeah, look for it on the side.
Good point.
So what would that make, like a standing order? Anytime somebody gets arrested, you swab them?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything about
procedure. No, but
he
did see him at, Norman at Miss Watson's grave. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, I mean, the way she said it matched. Just like
that's what she was looking for.
Yeah,
she
exactly.
was looking for it to match.
Exactly.
No, she was saying she ran the DNA in the computer and came up with a match.
Right. I heard her say it matched. And to me, it felt like he was saying, like, I knew it. Like, I knew something was up.
I'm going to have to go back and rewatch. Are you sure they said semen? Are
yes.
you sure? Because I thought that they were thinking about the blood.
Not only.
They had that whole scene about the blood on the shirt.
Not only did I watch it on Hulu, but I watched it with the subtitles on, and it said semen, and I know how to spell.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Are we clear on this?
All right.
Yes.
I'm just saying, when it turns out to not be that, and it's just misdirection,
sure.
I'm just saying.
What are you being right about here?
All right.
Hey, Carlton Cues, you messed it up. You messed it up, Carlton.
Yeah, some quick shout-outs, Nando? What do you got?
If you're listening to us on iTunes, please subscribe. If you subscribe to us, please rate us.
Yes.
We love the
fives.
We love 5 stars.
Yes.
You know what? We haven't had a written rating since March 4th. So
please jump on iTunes and rate us, whether you know good or bad. Let us know what you think.
Preferably good.
But it helps other people find us.
If you write bad, write it on YouTube so we can write back and make fun of you.
But there were a lot of comments about Nestor's interview on YouTube.
Yeah. Yes,
we have some from a BDWJ 1986, Dan J Studio 13, Show Mance, Ja Girl 314, Lounge Blogger. There you go. Shout out to you again, Lounge Blogger. We love you.
Yeah.
Mr. Illusion Eyes. That's you, Joe. No, never mind. Mr. Illusion Eyes. My Kelk 205, Crimson King, and D. Skumani.
Skumani. Skumani.
We butchered this name every single time. Skumani, right?
Skumani.
I think it's Skiami.
All right.
Skumani.
We had to go to predictions. We're running behind.
Yeah, we are.
We're running behind.
Yeah, we are.
We're in a time loop.
Predictions is something we should do.
Let's just do him.
Let's just do him.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Is there anybody in the engineering room? There it is.
It was fighting me. I was trying to.
Don't trash on Roya. Don't trash on her.
I'm sorry.
She does an awesome job for us. So.
I've been getting it all day from these boys.
And
so.
Joe
has no
really,
idea what that means.
Yeah, no idea. We're getting it all day. No idea.
Do it. What's your prediction?
Okay, so I have a few. I actually am going to give one prediction that this is not a prediction of mine. This is a prediction of my mother's.
Oh.
So
she know about the birds and the bees?
A little mom prediction.
Please.
So she was. She actually thinks, hey, pay attention. She actually thinks that Jody and Christine are related. I'll say that again. Jody and Christine
are
related. That they're sisters.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. She's like, they look so much alike. Do you think they're related? And I was like, no,
so they're
come from
different
separate
families.
Yeah.
Right.
Think that Dylan will tell Norman, because he's not going to get it from Norma. So Dylan's going to tell Norman about what he does when he blacks out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Zane's going to die.
Joe, quickly.
I agree with you on the Dylan and Norman thing. I agree that Dylan will be the one to tell Norman, and Norman might actually believe him this time.
Yep.
I think it might actually work.
Nando, you gave your prediction already.
I did, but I agree with those two things, too.
Okay, I gave my prediction, which is that she's going to hit the fan. Dua, where can we find you?
Dua Casey.
At Twitter, right?
At Twitter, yeah.
Feel free to send her sex education tips on Twitter.
Joe Flippa, where can we find you?
On the Twitters at Joe Filippo, J-O-E-F-L-I-P-O. And my website is josephsanfilippo.com.
Nando Bell.
You can find me at Nando Bell, N-A-N-D-O-V-E-L. I'm doing Orphan Black in a little bit, so we're just starting that one. That's going to be awesome. And then a bunch of shows with you two guys.
Sure.
Not enough with you, but a lot with you. Too many with you guys.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm Joe Braswell. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell. You can also find me at Joe Sanfilippo doing Mad Men starting yesterday. So check that out. We also do The Following and Hannibal and Blacklist and a bunch of other stuff.
This is Mad Men's last season, right?
Yes, it is.
Well, it's the last half of the first.
Thank
first
you.
Half of the last season. There's going to be a second half in 2015.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.